Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for your many blessings and the privilege we have of coming together to have a building that we can worship in, Lord, the freedom to proclaim your word, that we even have a copy of your word, each one of us, Lord, and we have easy access to it. Lord, we thank you for all these blessings. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you as our Heavenly Father. And we pray tonight, Lord, even as we look into your word and we study it, that you'd open up our ears and our hearts, that we would be receptive and hear what you would have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want, you can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, and we're going to read about 4 or 5 verses. Last week, we asked the question of, are we being robbed? And I seem to be on the question theme. So tonight's question is, are we ready to hear? That wasn't really my intent when I came here, but as I prepared these lessons, it seemed to be a good title for it. So let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And I'm going to stop right there. It's not probably the normal spot to stop, but it was that last verse that as I read it, it just kind of struck me. And I'll explain why it kind of struck me as we go on. But the question is, are we ready to hear? And we saw this lawyer as he comes to Jesus, and he came probably in the absolute worst manner. I mean, he became tempting the Lord. He didn't really want an answer. He wanted an argument. And I think he walked away of receiving nothing. We don't really hear the end of the result of what happened to him. But I was wondering, and what the thought kind of struck me, is how many of us are like that lawyer. And we don't necessarily come with that attitude of tempting the Lord deliberately, but how many of us do tempt the Lord unconsciously or unknowingly? And it intrigued me, and it really bothered me, because how many times that phrase, but he willing to justify himself, a little bit of pride comes in. And that struck a chord with me, because I know that there's been many times where I wasn't willing to listen. And it comes in many forms. So that's kind of what drew me to this passage, and we're going to explore and kind of contemplate it. And first of all, I want to quote a verse in Proverbs 20, verse 5, and it says, Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draweth it out. And I just kind of want to point that out of the wisdom of, as this lawyer came to Jesus, what he did. He drew out the knowledge out of this guy. He had it. The guy had the knowledge. He had the right answer. And that's kind of important. And it was the approach that Jesus used. So it wasn't a lack of knowledge. I also think it wasn't a lack of that this was a complicated message. You look at the message and it's very simple. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I'm thinking of also Micah 6:8, it says, He has showed thee, O man, what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. This is a very simple message. God is not a God of confusion, but He's the author of the Bible, and it's very clear. It's a very simple message. And so as we come to Christ, it's never a matter of, well, I can't comprehend it. It's simply doing what's obvious. And even as we go and we read the explanation of who is my neighbor, It was the obvious answer. Whoever has a need. But the lawyer still missed it. It wasn't a matter of not having the knowledge. It wasn't a matter of not being able to comprehend it. But it was a matter of humility. He wanted to justify himself. He had a little bit of pride in him. And how many times do we have pride and we do the same thing? We want to justify ourselves. And I'm going to come back to that point as we get towards the end and look at how many different ways we do that of justifying ourselves. But I look at God's plan in 1 Peter 5:6. It says, humble thyself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. One of the prerequisites of God being able to use us is humility. It's not who we are. It's not how great we are. It's not how much knowledge we have. But it's a matter of us being willing to humble ourselves. I heard a pastor, and I can't remember his name, but he had been a pastor. He got spinal meningitis. Intellectually, he went back and he regressed to when he was about a 6-year-old. And his wife had to literally reteach him the alphabet and how to read and reintroduce him to Christ, if you will. I don't know all the details. And he only got back to like a 12th or maybe a 7th grade education. He was very, very simple. But he was back preaching in the pulpit, praising God for what he had done. And I heard one of his messages, and it was sobering, and it was powerful. It wasn't complicated, but God was using this guy. So it's not a matter of who we are. It's a matter of the God that we serve. But I asked the question, are we ready to hear? And there are three different things I just, in reflecting that came to my mind. And I know I'm talking to the core audience, and so you've probably heard this. It's not something new, but I pray that we will take it to heart and listen. The first of it is our desire. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do we hunger after it? Do we really want it? There was two other verses about of our commitment to it. I looked at Jeremiah 29. I know my dad probably could quote this for you. I should be able to, but it's been a while. 29, starting in verse 11, says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I find it interesting, when you search for me with all your heart. Do we hunger and do we thirst after it? There's a verse in Isaiah, and I didn't get a chance to look it up, but it says, when we thirst after God, that's when he's going to be able to fill us with the Holy Spirit. It was a prerequisite, is that we thirst after it. I read for the men that were in the men's prayer group, we talked about the fear of the Lord, and there was a section in Proverbs 2 in the first 5 verses, and I came home and I was reading through Proverbs at that point and had to share it with my dad, and you're going to hear the same words again, but it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at the desire that David is expressing. What God is saying, when you do this, when you search for it with all your heart, that's when you're going to find it. He doesn't say when you just casually ask me for something. We had asked a question, and I don't remember if it was in the men's prayer study or one of Tim's Bible study, but why doesn't the Lord answer our prayers immediately? Why do we many times have to pray for 3 or 4 months? And this is starting to get to it. Is our heart's desire really wanting this? Many times we don't know what we're praying for, but God asks, are you serious about it? And it's only by our continual prayer that we really express that we're serious about it. How many times does the Bible say, when there's a number of verses, and I wish I would have looked them up, but about weeping and tears when we come to God. You know, if we weep about something and we really get on our knees and we're burdened and our heart is broken and crushed, that gets God's attention more than anything else. So where's our desire when we come and we look at God's Word? The second thing I thought about was our approach to God. And in particular, I look at David in Psalms 119, if you want to turn there. We're going to look at where these things. And there's one key idea out of, I'm going to read a number of verses, but it's a matter of obedience. And I'm going to start with verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When David came to God's word, there was a purpose why he did it. It wasn't for intellectual knowledge, but he did not want to sin against God, and therefore he knew that as he memorized God's word and hid it in his heart, that it was going to help him and stop him from sinning. But there was a little bit clearer as we go on. If we jump down to verse 33, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Did you catch what David was saying? He said, teach me, O Lord, and I shall keep it unto the end. And then he goes to the next verse, and it says, I shall observe it with my whole heart. David was praying, and before God answered, he said, I'm going to obey you. Do we come to God with that attitude, with that approach? And I think that's key and that's critical, and so few people that I know really do that. And I know in my life I don't normally do that. It's only when I get really serious about something and I'm desperate that I go to God and I say, okay, God, whatever you show me, I'm going to do it. But every time I've done that, he's answered. And it hasn't been a vague, fuzzy answer. I've known exactly what he wanted. Let's skip down to verse 97. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And we have the key to that whole passage in that last phrase, because I keep thy precepts. He had standing because he was obedient and followed the direction that he had. And I don't know how many times as you go through the Gospels, you'll see an illustration where Jesus is dealing with someone who's lost in sin and doesn't have the answers, but they're faithful with a little bit. And as they're faithful with a little bit, they gain understanding and they gain insight. And they're faithful with that, and they receive more. And it's a pattern that you will observe as you listen to the stories of Christ. But is that the pattern in our lives that we can say with David, I am wiser than the ancients because I have kept thy word? We look at the world and we recognize they're foolish because they're not keeping God's word. But how many of us have the wisdom that we should have as mature believers, or are we still like babes in Christ? Missing so much that God has for us simply because we are not obedient to what we have. And the last verse, or the last concept, is our confidence. When we come to Christ, we have to come. If you look at Psalms 119, the first two verses, David expresses that. And he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. He is stating by faith that the people who are obedient to God are blessed. And I want to make sure that you understand many translations, I don't know in this, But in the New Testament, we'll translate the word blessed with happy. And I think that slaughters the translation. Because when we think about happy, we're thinking about our emotions. Blessed is what God is going to do with for us, spiritually. That we are blessed, that our family is going to be blessed after us when we are obedient. And many of us, we step back and we say, well, I'm pretty good and I'm doing this. And I go back to that phrase of that lawyer, and he said, but he wanted to justify himself. And that really bothered me because I see lots of people doing it. I see lots of Christians sitting in church missing out because they are not obedient. There was a guy in our church out there, and he came and he asked me for some help for financially. And I helped him a few other times. And so finally, the one time I asked him, well, have you ever sat down and you made a budget? And I asked him very particular because our pastor, every year, will make sure it has a point to deal with budgets and financial wisdom about putting God first and paying your bills and doing these things, because we deal with a lot of people with poor character who struggle with these things. So it's something that's vitally necessary. And this is a guy that had been sitting in church under that teaching longer than I had, over 10 years. So I asked him, have you made a budget? And he said, no. I know I should do that, but I haven't done it. He had wisdom that he had been given for 10 years and he had failed to act on it. And I found that tragic. But it wasn't just him. I know that I've done the same thing. And I've heard so many other Christians recognizing that God will give a commandment, and in their life, they have not obeyed that to the full extent of the law. And they justify themselves, just as that lawyer said, and said, it's pretty good. Instead of going and saying, God is merciful, praise God that He's merciful and He has done something, they're justifying their lives. And I can look from the outside and I can say, in tragedy, and normally I'm good enough that I don't say anything, but you've missed out on God's blessing. You have failed to reach what God wanted for you. Because you have not humbled yourself and because you have not obeyed God to the full extent, you have missed His blessing. And it's tragic when you see that. Because they're blind and they're ignorant. And they're blind and they're ignorant because they have a pattern of not following God's word. And I know that we all suffer that same thing. I think of David in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. He said to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You cannot come to God and pray that prayer unless you are humble, unless you are seeking God's will for your life, and unless you're willing to obey what He tells you. And so often, we don't come to God with that right attitude, and we do not hear because we do not recognize the answer. I think of so many times our pastor out there, there's classic example of a man and a woman, they're struggling in their marriage and they come to him and they're seeking advice. And he says, well, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? And are you coming to church? And they look at him and they're like, okay. And they go off. And the tragedy is normally they don't have their life and they come back and they ask him again in 2 months, this hasn't fixed the problem. And he's like, well, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? How are you coming to church? And the problem is they're looking for some other answer and they don't recognize that is the answer. And so often we do the same thing when God, we have a problem, we're praying about a future spouse. And I see that in many cases. And God says, well, are you reading the Bible? And we're like, well, how's that related? But if we read our Bible, then He could speak to us. Or some other thing, and it seems disconnected. But you realize that God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's so much higher than us. And we miss out because we aren't obedient to this, because we say, well, not the problem I'm working on. And we miss out entirely. So I go back and ask that question, are we ready to hear? Do we have the right desire that we're going to seek God's Word with our whole heart? Do we come with humility so that we say to God, yes, I'm going to... And do we have the confidence to believe that God is here and what He has for us is the best for us? Hebrews 11:6 says, for it is impossible, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do we trust God enough to be obedient with what He shows us? Even without knowing it. That's what it means by having faith in God. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank You for Your many blessings. I thank You for Your Word that we have to read and to study. And even as we looked at this lawyer who came with the wrong attitude trying to tempt Jesus, and because of that, he missed so much. He missed the blessing. He missed, probably he missed out on eternal life. We don't know. But he had the knowledge. He had the understanding. He had studied Your Word and he came to the right answer. But so often we are like him in that we miss Your blessings. Lord, I pray that You give us hearts that are soft, that are tender to Your leading and guiding. Give us the faith that we might trust You, that recognize You are our Heavenly Father, that You love us, and that You only want to give us good things, but give us that faith to believe so that we might be obedient and have the ears to hear, Lord. We just ask this in Your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.